The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN Adrian, HD2, W243AD, 96.5, The Cave.
96.5, The Cave. Lenawee County Sports.
Hey, Bulldogs fans. It's time for the AC All Access Show, brought to you by Adrian College and Frickers of Adrian, where we unlock the doors to the heart of Adrian College athletics, including live interviews from Adrian College coaches and players.
Welcome live to the AC All Access Show here on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com. My name is Ian Wentz. We are live here at Frickers in Adrian, right on Main Street. It's a rainy day. Come inside, have some great food, good drinks, and a good time here at Frickers. They are hiring. If you'd like to work here, cook some food, come on in, grab an application, and maybe start your next career here at Frickers in Adrian. John Kane back in the studio helping out this afternoon. And we have a great lineup today. We're going to talk about some rowing. We're going to talk some esports. We're going to talk bowling and some ice hockey. So we're going to get things going here with the rowing program. We have the acting head coach of the men's and the women's program at Adrian College. Lucy Roy joins me. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. This is my go-to spot for lunch, so I feel like I'm right at home. This is going to be a big learning experience for me. As you can tell, I probably won't fit in one of your boats. I don't know a lot or anything about rowing. We're going to dive into that in just a second. If you could tell our listeners a little bit about you, maybe where you went to high school and your collegiate experience. I assume you did some rowing. Based on your bio, you were pretty darn good.
Yeah, so I started out at Pioneer High School in Ann Arbor. Then I went on to row at Michigan State for the D1 varsity team there. Rowed there for 3 years. Ended up with a fourth place finish at the Big Ten Conference Championships, which was the highest finish that we had had throughout my entire time there. So that was a really good way to end it out. But yeah, it's kind of where my rowing career has taken me so far, and now I'm here at Adrian.
So what brought you to Adrian, like fresh out of college?
Yeah, so originally I had planned to do some part-time coaching at my high school, but this opportunity kind of fell in my lap. I knew some connections to the team and some connections to the head coach, heard that he was looking for some help, and I figured might as well get started at the collegiate level instead of the junior level, and I'm super happy here. I love it so much.
So your second year with the program, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, assistant last year and now air quotes acting.
Yes.
Head coach. So we'll see if that tag comes off. You know, people up in the northwest part of the county, I'm sure, know about the Adrian College Boathouse. That's where the action happens, right? That's where you take care of everything to do with rowing.
Yes, they can probably hear me at 6:30 in the morning on that lake yelling through my megaphone.
So are you the one that, like, sits on the back of the boat and shouts, you know, what to do?
So that's actually the coxswain. That's the person on the team who does that.
And they, so you're shouting from the shore?
I have a motorboat that I drive next to the team, and I tell them to do things from the launch, and I coach them through their workout.
All right, so here's me learning a lot about rowing right off the bat. So there are positions with rowing. First off, how many people are in a boat? Am I calling it the wrong thing? Is it a boat?
It is a boat.
Okay, there's no fancy term. Okay.
There is a fancy term, but boat works just fine.
Okay.
The fancy term would be shell.
Shell.
But boat is totally acceptable. It does depend. We have single-person boats. We have two-person boats. We have four-person boats and eight-person boats. The four-person boats and eight-person boats typically have a coxswain. That's the person we were just talking about, who steers the boat and makes the calls for different rates and pressure and stuff like that based on their surroundings. So that's what that person's job is. But you've got four, eight, two or one person actually rowing.
Okay, and for the very novice person, it's like a canoe. It's a long, narrow boat.
A very, very long, very narrow boat, yes.
Okay. Well, at the collegiate level, how many of those do we do? Like, do we just do eight? or do we do two or one? How does that break down at college?
Yeah, so when we get closer to those conference championships and our national championships, we're going to start narrowing it down. We do tend to compete more heavily in the eight. The eight is the most competitive category. So we do try to stack that lineup, get as many strong people as we can in that boat. And then after that, we have two eights. So there's the first eight and the second eight, and then comes the four. So the four is a little less competitive, except on the women's side right now, that is our most competitive lineup right now. Historically, we've had a relatively small program, but we're starting to grow. So hopefully we'll be able to break into the eight this year, the conference championship.
So when you go to an event, how many boats are you bringing or how many are you allowed to bring?
You can enter typically as many as you'd like, especially in the fall. I'll race people two, maybe even three times per event. So sometimes people would be in an eight and then a four and then maybe a double. It depends on the race and the conditions and what caliber of rowers we've got. You know, sometimes in the doubles, you're doing what's called sculling. So you have two oars instead of one. And at that point, we need to make sure we have people who know how to do that before we put them in that boat.
All right. So that's going to segue my next question. You can do it with two or one, whatever.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So
please explain. Help me.
Yeah. The eights and the fours are going to be sweep rowing. That's when you have one oar. And that's why it's helpful to have that coxswain because they can steer the boat. And move the rudder around based on pressure differentials. Once you've gotten into the single, the double, and there's also a four-person boat called a quad that is sculling, you will have two oars, and you are, as the bow seat, the person in the back of the boat responsible for both rowing and steering and making calls. So all those things fall in the bow seat of the sculling boat. So that seat is very, very difficult. And typically we don't try to put people in that position unless we're in the fall and people want to take part in that.
All right. How many other positions are there with a typical rowing team? You have the person in the back whose name I already forgot. And then are there, you know, what are the other positions in front, or does it just...
Yeah, so the big ones to know are bow seat. Those are the people in the back of the boat, or, you know, in terms of where the boat's facing, it's actually the front of the boat, but they're the backmost with regards to where they're facing. So that's the bow seat. And then everyone else, it's numbered 1 through 8 or 1 through 4, depending on what boat you're in. The 8 seat or the 4 seat is called the stroke seat. Those are the people that are setting the rhythm for the rest of the crew, and the bow seats are the ones who are steering the boat.
It just dawned on me. You sit backwards, don't you?
Yeah.
To row.
Yeah, which is another reason why the coxswains are important there, because rowers can't always be looking behind them while they're rowing.
I'd say so. all right, so events are split between the fall and the spring. We see that with a couple other sports. Mm-hmm. What's been the focus this fall? Is it sort of a tune-up for the, quote, bigger events in the spring, or how do you approach that?
Yeah, so we have a couple of really big races. We attend Head of the Charles in Boston, which I'm sure we'll talk about briefly in a bit here, but that is our second largest race of the year. So that's currently what we're prepping for. That's going to be huge on endurance, being able to put your all out there for about 20 minutes and just continue pushing for 20 minutes and continue keeping that technique up there and in tune with the rest of the boat. So right now, big thing we're doing is building that endurance and building that base level strength so that our guys and our women's team this year as well can handle that course. Next season is when we start transitioning into the 2,000 meter races, which are more fast paced. Those are usually about 7 minutes long, hopefully closer to 6 minutes long for the men's team.
Sure.
But yeah.
I was going to ask how long a race typically is. So they go by meters.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like there's a lot of variables with rowing.
Yes.
How long is a typical race? Do they simplify it for college, or how does that work?
So in the fall it varies, but the typical race length is going to be a 5,000-meter course. Head of the Charles is 4,800-something meter course, and it has a ton of really big turns, really sharp turns that make the course a little bit more difficult. In the spring, it's just a straight shot 2,000-meter course where you're side-by-side with the other crews, And you can tell where you are in relation to them, whereas Head of the Charles is a time trial, so you're racing against the clock.
Talking some college rowing with Lucy Roy, the acting head coach for the women's and men's program at Adrian College. So we talked a little bit about that Head of the Charles in Boston coming up later this fall. Big event. What league do the Bulldogs compete in? Is there a rowing league, or is it just whoever has a team can compete? Is it, are there like divisions, or how does that
go? Yeah, so we, in the spring, we typically compete among our conference, and our conference is the Mid-Atlantic Rowing Conference, or otherwise known as the MARCs. So we're not in the same type of athletic conference as other teams at Adrian. We're in a completely different conference for our sport. Right now, we're kind of racing anyone. So we'll be racing at Head of the Charles D1 crews, D2 crews, and D3 crews. So it's really anyone's game at that point, which is awesome. And I'm really excited to see some tough competition out there push our team to go even harder.
So that Mid-Atlantic Conference, are those all Division III teams?
Yeah. Yep. So all the Mid-Atlantic Rowing Conference teams are Division III. Hopefully when we make it to nationals this year, we will be racing against other Division III crews, and we'll be racing against the best of the best in the country.
Good segue. How do you get to that nationals side of things? Relatively youngish program at AC, so how do you take that step?
Yeah, so we get there through the qualification at our conference championships, which happens at the end of April typically. That is 2,000 meter. You get one shot at it, and you race against the other crews there, see where you stack up. We have a couple of club teams in our conference, and they race at a completely different nationals than we do. So our job is to beat out all of the varsity programs in our conference. So, for example, last year at the conference championships, we actually got third, but because we were the fastest program in our conference for varsity, we got up to the IRA standing.
Okay, what's the makeup of, we'll go with the women's team first. What's the, how many are on the team? And if you have a breakdown roughly of upperclassmen and underclassmen?
Yeah, so historically, like I said, we've had a pretty small team on the women's side. We are starting to grow, which is awesome. We currently have 10 rowers and 2 coxswains on the women's team. And then every year we do some walk-on recruiting. So we get the word out about the sport throughout campus, see if anyone has any interest, and usually the women's team picks up a few girls from that. So that was really cool to see. We've taught them how to row, and now we're hoping to put a good foot forward for our first 8 in the conference championships this year. In terms of upperclassmen versus lowerclassmen, we have 2 seniors, 5 freshmen, and then 2 juniors, I believe, and 3 sophomores.
Okay, a pretty good mix.
Yeah.
So for the men's side, is it similar? You said a few more rowers on that side of things?
Yeah, a few more. So we have on the men's side 14 rowers and 2 coxswains, or 3 coxswains on the men's side. So still pretty small. You typically see crews with, 2 8s and a 4 worth of guys. Right now we have an 8 and a 4 worth of guys. So we're getting there, but that comes every year, obviously, with recruiting and getting the name out about Adrian in the surrounding schools.
That's got to be difficult recruiting for rowing. It's not like football where every high school almost has a football team.
Right.
You can go pick players. How do you find rowers to bring to the college?
Yeah, so first big step, I like to talk to rowers early. I like to talk to them their junior year if I'm going to recruit, rowers. Typically, I'll start talking to them a little bit earlier. Other than that, we also look at people who have never rowed before. The good makeup of a rower is a really tall person. So
sure.
If we find a really tall person, sometimes it's a volleyball player, sometimes a basketball player. Swimmers, for some reason, translate really well into the sport.
They're used
as well
to being in the water.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely take, those people as well. But the big thing about recruiting for our sport is just getting the word out about it. A lot of bigger programs, it's a little harder to compete year one, but we get to offer our athletes and our freshmen opportunities to compete early on. So
yeah, is it a national and international recruiting too, or is it like a Midwest makeup of the team?
Yeah, so we have a couple of international students on the team currently. We do international recruiting. We will typically see more kids come from the Midwest area just because they're closer, but we do every once in a while get a kid from, you know, one of our men's team's captains is from Peru. One of the members of our women's team is from Tokyo, Japan. So we definitely have, you know, representation from different countries, but you'll typically see closer in the Michigan, Ohio, Indiana region.
Final question, and then you get to go. What's the next event for the men's and women's rowing team?
For the men's team, they're heading to Marietta, Ohio on the 14th to battle Marietta at Head of the Muskingum. Marietta used to be a D3 school. They transitioned into D1, and ever since that transition have been massive rivals of ours, so we're looking forward to getting another stab at them this year. After that, both teams are heading to Head of the Charles in Boston, and they are competing on the 22nd, so that'll be really, really fun.
All right, fantastic. Well, Lucy, thank you, and good luck the rest of the season.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
And again, that's Lucy Roy, the acting head coach of the women's and men's rowing teams at Adrian College. We will take a quick break. We'll transition to some esports right after this. We are at Frickers in Adrian. It's the AC All Access Show on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Catch women's rugby, men's tennis, and club baseball Sunday, women's volleyball and women's soccer on Wednesday, or JV women's volleyball on Friday.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Catch women's rugby, men's tennis, and club baseball Sunday, women's volleyball and women's soccer on Wednesday, or JV women's volleyball on Friday.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian, right on Main Street. Stop on by. Today it's Thursday. It's Chicken Chunks. Of course, Thursday night football. The personal pitchers are a thing, 6:50. So try that today, tonight, whatever. I'm not going to judge you. If you want to stop by now and drink, hey, it's all up to you. My name is Ian Wendt. Thanks for tuning in. We're talking all things Adrian College athletics, and we're going to talk with the head coach of the esports program at AC, Ethan Hill. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing great. Like I said last time, I'm at my happy place for lunch, so can't be much better than this. Esports has kind of caught the world by storm the last 5 years or so. It's kind of really taken on. It's the third season at Adrian College. We'll talk about you a little bit and then about the program. What's your gaming background? Where'd you go to school? And tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
So I graduated from Trine University, also you know, rivals with AJ.
Yeah. I'll look past that for now.
I understand. And at Trine, I was a captain for their Call of Duty team for 3 years. And that's pretty much my experience with the world of collegiate esports.
Yeah, collegiate. I mean, obviously, years before that of playing gaming and all that. So, when did you kind of know this was something you wanted to do? It went from like something you just enjoy doing to I could be competitive and I could, you know, play esports in college and all that type of stuff.
So I transferred to Trine. Initially I was at IU for a semester, ended up withdrawing and transferring to, knocking out some gen eds at Ivy Tech.
Okay.
And I was looking to kind of switch things up. I was ready to finally, you know, go do something with my life.
Sure.
And I was looking around at schools, and my sister was getting recruited for soccer at Trine, and I ended up going up with her for one of her VIP days and found out that that Trine had an esports program. So, you know, I got really excited with that, and the point where I kind of decided that, you know, this could be it for me, was just, you know, playing with my friends during when we were all in isolation during COVID, staying up all night playing Call of Duty, and realized that I was at the top of the leaderboard in almost every single game. So like, okay, well, if I'm the best out of my friends, then, you know, let's see if I can go toe-to-toe with some of the best in the country.
And that eventually turned into, you said you were captain for the Call of Duty team. Talk about that.
My responsibilities, it was just, you know, managing the team, scheduling practices, registering us in tournaments and leagues, taking the time to also kind of be a captain and a coach, you know, kind of study the strategy for the game, study the strengths and weaknesses of my teammates, and figure out, you know, what can we do to be the best that we can.
It sounds like that transitioned pretty well into coaching. Looking at the list of games offered, this list I was handed, it's a pretty extensive list. Super Mario, Smash Bros., terrible at that game. Call of Duty, I played it, not good. Rocket League, it's a fun game, but like with any game, it can become competitive. Rainbow Six Siege, NBA 2K, Overwatch, Fortnite, Madden, Apex Legends, CSGO. Not sure what that is.
Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Got it. Okay, and then League of Legends. Spent way too many hours on that when I was in college. That's an expensive list. What's the makeup of the team? How many people are on the team in Adrian?
So in our program as a whole, we have about 40 to 50. There are a lot of our players are actually doubling up. Some actually play on three different teams. But the average team count is five to six. It tends to be about the average for at least half the teams, and then it drops down to three to four.
For each of these games, there's a team?
Yes. With Madden 2K and Rocket League, we have three teams.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that's a skills for each of those games don't really translate to each other. Not all of them, right? I mean, the controllers are similar. Oh, that's a good question. Duh. Is it Xbox or is it PlayStation or PC? How is that broken down?
So every single game except for Madden, 2K, and Smash are all played on PC. And the standard is playing mouse and key, except for Call of Duty. Call of Duty plays controller. But so that leaves like nine titles that are all on or eight or nine titles that are all on mouse and key. And then our sports games, they can play on either. It's cross-compatible between the consoles.
Okay.
But we personally stick with PlayStation. It hurts me a little bit, but
okay. Yeah, that'd be the next lead-in question.
Yeah.
Adrian College has invested in this esports program. I mean, they didn't just say, here's a couple computers and an empty classroom. Talk about the facility. I believe it's just off of the library, right?
Yes.
Right up there in the front. What does Adrian offer in terms of the facility?
So I've only been here a month, but 2 months. But the lab that Adrian has, it's truly one of the best that I've seen in my time of competing and just being aware of esports. We have 36 computers divvied into three, four rows. And then also a couch section for our console players to play, and then also a lounge that has couches, high table, large TV, so people can kind of hang out, watch. There's prior to me coming, there was a 1-to-1 ratio between PC to player. Because we've grown almost. We've almost doubled in size. We're kind of having to juggle practice schedules a little bit, but I really appreciate all the support that that Adrian's done to help give the program a fighting chance against some of the other top programs in the country.
That's a good lead in to this next conversation of. What league or what division is esports? Is it, Adrian competing with Michigan State, or is there like Division One, Division Two, Three? Is there a conference? What's the competitive makeup?
Great question. It's not centralized at all. NCAA doesn't touch it. There are the leagues that we personally compete in are. NACE, which is the National Association of Collegiate Esports, ECAC, which is I forget what that one stands for, and then there's an MIAA, a strictly MIAA conference hosted by Blockhouse. It's called Blockhouse Esports League. It's kind of a double-edged sword. It's awesome that some of our teams, like our CSGO team, has the opportunity to play some of the biggest names in college sports. Boston College, Georgia, Northwestern, the list goes on. I can't recite all of it off the top of my head. But on Monday, our Rocket League team played the University of Texas. And what team other than our hockey team could say that they play on a truly a national platform and are able to be competitive.
Yes, exactly. Opportunities there. I'm sure there are more than one individuals listening thinking, I could do this in college. I mean, there's gamers left and right throughout the community and throughout the country and globally too. How do you recruit players? I know you're relatively fresh here at Adrian, but what's the typical way that gals and guys get recruited?
There's two main ways that I go about recruiting. First being I've just been reaching out to high school esports programs and all around Michigan. I think right now I have a list of 27 within a 3-hour radius, and I've been specifically targeting those. On the flip side, there's numerous esports recruitment sites. Actually, some of the same pages that like the football team, baseball team, some of the other popular sports on nationally popular sports, the sites that they use to recruit.
Huddle.
Have. They've now accommodated for esports as well, so I'm able to recruit you there.
So they can put their film together,
yes,
so to speak, and send it out to you.
Yes.
Wow, that's great.
Exactly.
When is your season typically? Is it like a all school year long thing? Because you're indoors, you're not dependent on the weather?
I mean, it's broken up by semester, but yes, we do have the ability to compete year round.
Okay. What's the, well, you have 50 on the team. What's the general makeup? Would you say you're a younger team or a veteran squad?
We are a very young team. I think we have four seniors. Most of our makeup is freshman and sophomore right now.
First year as head coach this year, announced a month or so ago. What are your goals for the team? I know it's early and it's your first year, so what's kind of your expectation?
I mean, it's a bit bold, but I mean, I love the win, and you know, we have, I think, six or seven teams right now in a position. You know, it's early. It's early in the year,
yeah.
But you know, we have at least half of our teams look very good and are developing in a way that they could very well just win their division, win their conference, you know, first year in. I think the goal that I set for the program as a whole was to improve our win percentage from 56% to 70, which is we're currently accomplishing it. As a program, we're 18-7, if I remember correctly, and a few of those were forfeits, just because we were having tech issues.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So certainly it sounds attainable right now. If somebody's interested out there and they want to watch an esports match, is that possible? Would they have to go to the library, or is there a way to watch online?
So they can. We do welcome people to come to the library and watch. But if you want to, you know, stay at home, we have three different streams that, you know, we try to stream all of our matches from. You know, Monday through Friday, we have a match going every single night at 8.
Really?
Yeah. All three are on Twitch.
Okay. Is that link on the Adrian College website? They can click through. Okay.
Yeah.
So AdrianBulldogs.com, go to esports. I know it's under the men's sports. Is it also on the women's? Okay, so under men's sports, it's a co-ed team, obviously. So go to the schedule. If you want to watch, you said 8 o'clock every weeknight?
Every weeknight.
Wow, that's great. Learning a lot this time about esports. I've been talking with Ethan Hill, the first-year head coach at Adrian College. So I guess next match is tonight at 8.
Exactly.
Tune in. All right, thank you so much, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we're going to take a break. We will continue our conversation. We're going to talk some bowling with the men's and women's teams right after this. You're tuned into the ACL Access Show, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Catch women's rugby, men's tennis, and club baseball Sunday, women's volleyball and women's soccer on Wednesday, or JV women's volleyball on Friday.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Catch women's rugby, men's tennis, and club baseball Sunday, women's volleyball and women's soccer on Wednesday, or JV women's volleyball on Friday.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the ACL Access Show. Conversations about Adrian College and Adrian College Athletics. My name is Ian Wentz. We're hanging out this afternoon at Frickers in Adrian, right on Main Street. It's a dreary day. You don't want to cook. You don't want to do some drive-thru. Stop on out. Sit down. Enjoy yourself here at Frickers. If you're looking for employment, Frickers is hiring. Stop on by for an application. Try their Parkmore chicken sandwich. It's a new sandwich being offered. Also, their personal pitchers for $6.50. Not pitchers like baseball, pitchers like booze. We're going to talk some women's bowling this afternoon. I'm joined by Abigail Bird. She is the team captain and the assistant coach. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right, the tough questions start now. Where are you at in your season? Is it relatively young? What's going on there?
So for the women's team, we are definitely still in the rebuilding phase. So currently we've already had two tournaments for the season, but the girls have not bowled in them. The girls will actually start bowling on October 21st in the Cornerstone tournament. We have a lot of dual sport athletes this year, so that's kind of an effect there, is the schedules mixing in with each other. But other than that, the women's team definitely has some potential this year, and I look forward to seeing the rest of them bowl.
Checking my notes. Says that you won the first annual ACHA singles event.
I did.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? Where was it? What did that involve?
So that's basically, it was the first annual singles event for our conference tournament that we had. It was actually held at Lenawee Recreation Bowling in here in Adrian. Basically, it's just students from all over our conference. If they wanted to bowl, they could have. If they didn't, they didn't have to. But it was just like a little mini little tournament, not as severe as the actual tournaments during the college season, but definitely had some competition in there. And yeah, it was actually tough. I almost let the one go. I almost messed up and
came down to the 10th frame, right?
Yeah.
It always does.
Last couple frames of the game it came down to, yeah. The girl I was against was actually pretty good. So.
Well, congrats on that win.
Thank you.
Good to get that under the belt. What's it like to be captain, assistant coach, with both of those titles?
So I was a captain last season. I actually do not bowl this year. I could have, but I decided to be more focused as an assistant coach and help out in that way, since I am still technically a student at Adrian College. So just having the assistant coach title is nice. I was a little nervous because a lot of, guys on the guys team were my teammates. So I didn't know if they were actually going to take that as, oh, you're my teammate, not my assistant coach.
Yeah.
But it actually works out. We all have a good bond with each other already, so that's nice. The girls are really sweet and connecting with each other. So really it's just basically like I'm their best friend, watching them all day, every day, basically.
You talked about the makeup of the team, and you have some multi-sport athletes. When you're at full strength, how many girls are on the team?
When I am at full strength, I am at 5. I am so looking to have people join. People can join if they are interested whenever. But I do have about 7 to 8 girls that are seniors in high school this year interested in coming to Adrian College next fall. So hopefully I might have 12 or more for the next upcoming season.
That'd be a good problem to have.
That would be a very good problem to have.
How many scores get registered? Is it like golf where you have 6 play and then they score your top 4? Or how does that operation go?
So mainly when it comes to the tournaments and the scoring, it's all just a 5-person team. And you can have more and sub people in, but the scoring will take 5 scores on your team, but towards the end of the tournament, it will take the top 5 highest goalers. And that's between all teams. There's not really just between each team. It's all teams combined, and whoever are the top 5, that's what gets a reward. But basically, they run with like 5 individual games, 4 to 5 individual games, and then Baker's game. So it's always 5-person team bowling at all times.
So you have just barely enough.
Just barely.
And they're all there.
I'm still there, though.
Yeah, well, exactly. What's your bowling background? Did you bowl in high school? Did you bowl before that?
So I've actually been bowling since I was 7 years old. I'm getting ready to turn 23, so a long time. I did bowl in high school. I was on varsity all 4 years. We never really set captains, but you could basically call me a captain. I was the one that everyone went to when they were having issues or asking for some advice. And then I bowled all 4 of my years at Adrian College. So.
Now, Abigail, I'll be honest. If someone walked into Frickers right now and saw that I was interviewing you, they would say, that's not the bowling coach. She doesn't look like she could throw a ball down the lane.
I get that a lot.
Is it like golf where it's all in the torque and you get the, you know, the arm speed going?
It's actually mainly your core and your legs. The arm kind of just acts as like a little pendulum, but basically everything's based off of your legs and your core.
You play your home matches at Lenawee Rec.
Yeah.
Big supporter of, you know, local athletics with not only Adrian, but the high schools and others. Do you feel like when you bowl there and when your team bowls there, there's truly a home lane advantage? Like, you kind of know the oil pattern. You kind of know what lanes do what. Is there like, if you go on the road, is it truly like we need to practice a lot? But when you're at home, it's, oh, yeah, lane 18 does that.
Yeah, so it definitely, there is some home advantage when we have our annual AC Open at Lenawee Recreation. But when it comes to traveling, it's really hard to practice because each oil pattern works differently on different lanes. So like Lenawee Rec, the oil pattern can work just fine. We're scoring high, and then we go to the actual bowling alley that the tournament is at, and it could be totally different. So it's kind of difficult to practice for the traveling. What we kind of just do is we kind of just get all of our bowlers to kind of just get used to adjusting to it, because we can always fix it the day of. It's a lot of it is just easy fixes, so we don't look really too far deep into everything.
Sure.
So
it's like a golf swing,
right?
I mean, you're playing the course, you're not playing against anybody else. Mm-hmm. It's you, your ball, and the lane, and if you're consistent with what you do, you can make adjustments with the lane.
Right, absolutely.
When you go to an event, do they give you time to practice and warm up? Or is it like, all right, you get 3 practice throws and you're off to the races?
Nope. So every tournament will have at least 10 to 15 minutes of practice. This is also mainly just to save some time and let every bowler of each team get at least a shot in of practice, just in case, because there's teams that have almost 10 bowlers and you – have to try and get all 10 bowlers to at least throw one practice shot and try and get the lane figured out. So every tournament will start off with 10 to 15 minutes of practice, and then that's when we'll go into competition play.
When is your next event? When's the next one the Bulldogs will be in? I know it's like girls are playing fall sports, so when do you think you'll be hitting the lanes again?
We have a tournament October 21st. It is in Grand Rapids. It is the Cornerstone Tournament. It's about 2 hours away. That is our next event. Hopefully, as far as I know, all of my girls will be available to bowl that one. So we should have a girls and boys team at that tournament. So.
All right. You compete in the MIAA, I'm assuming, or is it a different league?
It's kind of different. So
okay.
Our conference is the AHBA. That is our conference that we are in. But we basically, all these other tournaments, if it's a Cornerstone tournament, that's our own team's tournament. So we have teams that are NCAA, NAIA. We have teams from all over. So the only ones that really are just our conference and our conference only are any of the AHBA tournaments.
Okay. When's the home match?
The home match will be November 11th. That is a Saturday. We do have November 10th. That is the Siena Heights Classic. We will be bowling in that one at Lenawee Rec as well. But the AC Open is on November 11th. Saturday.
Okay, November 10th and 11th. They can go to Lenawee Rec and
correct.
Watch the ladies and the guys bowl.
Correct.
All right. Well, thank you, Coach Abigail Burr, the assistant coach for the bowling program at Adrian College. Good luck, and thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, we've been talking some bowling this afternoon here at Frickers and Adrian. We're going to switch gears, get cold, and talk some ice hockey. Sean Skelly waiting in the wings. Don't go away. You're listening to the ACL Access Show from Frickers and Adrian. We'll be back with more on 96.5 FM, 965thecave.com.
College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Catch women's rugby, men's tennis, and club baseball Sunday, women's volleyball and women's soccer on Wednesday, or JV women's volleyball on Friday.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Catch women's rugby, men's tennis, and club baseball Sunday, women's volleyball and women's soccer on Wednesday, or JV women's volleyball on Friday.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Stuff. Welcome back to the ACL Access Show here at Frickers in Adrian. My name is Ian Wendt. John Kane is back in the downtown Adrian studio. As Coach Skelly said, it is pouring rain. So make your way inside. It's safe and dry in Frickers. Stop out and get some lunch, maybe some dinner. Chicken chunks today is the special. And if you're looking for employment, Frickers is hiring. Stop on by and grab an application. Personal pitchers are $6.50. You can try that Parkmore chicken sandwich. That's a new feature here at Frickers. All right, it's time to talk some NCAA women's ice hockey. Their head coach, Sean Skelly, joins me now. He's a familiar voice on the Cave. We're doing an afternoon edition. Normally, we get you up early in the morning, but Coach, thanks for coming on this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it is. It's very dry in here. other than outside, first time we've gotten rain in a while though. So we probably could use it. I mowed my lawn yesterday, so I'm sure that baby's going to grow real quick now.
That's a good move. You know, the dad move of checking the weather forecast. I got to get that lawn mowed before it rains.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, eventually this rain will turn to snow and we'll be thinking hockey, but we're already thinking hockey.
Oh yeah.
As your ladies have been hitting the ice, practicing a little bit. We've heard some interviews with Steve, and it's good to hear the puck slapping off the glass and, the team skating around and having a good time. We know we're going to jump right into it. The team is looking a lot different this year, especially with, departures of some seniors and fifth-year seniors. What's the vibe like real early on in the season?
Yeah, I think it's there's excitement. There's trying to get everybody togetherness is we've been working on all of September with 10 new faces, plenty of returners, obviously with 17 returners, but with 10 new faces, it's trying to intermingle all those different personalities, and it's been good so far. Though we've done quite a bit of good team bonding, and they've been on the ice together, almost every day for the month, and we've gotten 8 good solid practices that we normally don't get with some changes to the NCAA rules as far as when coaches can get on the ice. And so I've been able to step on the ice with the squad for 8 practices, which has been a huge plus, especially with such a large influx of players.
You talked about the influx. A couple big names that have left to graduation, the All-American goalie Sophie Goldberg, will not be on the squad along with Betty Von Rudin. Mm-hmm. But according to my notes I was handed, you have some fifth years coming back. Lindsay Sorrell, Una Bellin, and Kaylee Catterett. Is that true?
That is true.
Or is that just a rumor?
No, they're here.
They're
here. Yeah. Obviously, I think veteran presence can always help you, especially with, we have 7 freshmen. So trying to intermingle them into the lineup. Some are probably a little more ready than others, and it's always nice to have. I mean, especially you're talking about bringing back Una, All-American, one of our best players, he's been one of our best players for year after year after year now. Lynn's comes back. She plays more of a depth role, but more of a glue type player that keeps everybody going day in, day out. It's a battle every day to enjoy yourself consistently, when things might not be going well personally on or off the ice. She's somebody that keeps it light. And then Cad, she's the quiet. She just goes about her own way, kind of a little methodical, but she can definitely help with her offensive skill.
We all know what this program wants to get to, right? Play for a national championship and win a national championship. We're in early October, middle October. How do you sort of keep the line in the cage, so to speak? It's an unspoken expectation, mm-hmm. is to play in a postseason and to win games there. How do you keep that focus on, we have scrimmages coming up or exhibitions, and then we got non-conference.
Yeah, I think we just talk about the process all the time, and how, we talk about it, wanting to win a national championship, but that's an outcome from so many different processes throughout the year, right? You got to play, your couple exhibition games. You got to play 25 regular season games and hope to, continue to have fun in the playoffs. For us, it's about getting our group together on the ice every day and coming together and playing as a cohesive unit and working off each other's strengths and building off their weaknesses. And I think it plays itself out if you just kind of focus on winning the day, essentially. You keep winning the day, you're probably going to win a lot of hockey games, and if you go about it the right way. And I think it'll bode well for our group.
And we're going to spend a lot of time talking to each other, and our listeners are going to say, man, they're still in this hockey season. it's a marathon, right? It's not a sprint.
And yeah. It's the longest on campus, right?
Yeah. You want to peak at the right time also.
Yeah. We're starting to talk about it, right? Real full on practice starts Monday. Exhibition next Saturday. We're hoping to play into the end of April, the end of March. It's a marathon. We're not talking about trying to get to a conference championship by Christmas, like a lot of other programs, right? So, it's a day by day process, and that's the fun in it. Where you don't have to necessarily look to the end product so quickly, and you can focus on kind of the day by day or week by week mentality.
plan. It's just become the expectation of your program that you've built here is to put yourself in those positions and be strong, not only physically, but mentally, and say, like, you know, maybe half the team is sick, you know, in the middle of January. You got to find a way to win.
Yeah.
Those type of things. It just happens. It's part of the sport.
Yep.
Bulldog fans were graced with some of the best goalie play that we've seen with Sophie Goldberg. So the lead in to the next question is how's the net looking like for the Dogs? Who are we bringing back? What's that squad looking like there?
Yeah. So we have Annie Gilbert. She'll be a sophomore. Vanessa Rubin will be a sophomore. Vanessa didn't get much play last year. I mean, neither did a lot of goalies outside of Soph. But and then we have a fifth-year grad transfer, Michaela O'Brien. She's coming from Endicott College out east. Really good career for 4 years there. You know, wants to be a part of winning culture like we have here at Adrian, and is excited to, you know, hopefully get some minutes. And I think you know, going off from what I've seen so far, I'd say probably Michaela and Annie will really, really be pushing the envelope to, but Vanessa is right there too. Like, she's just as strong. You know, it's that's the singular position in hockey, and it's a battle, and only one person gets the net mostly on each hockey game. So they both are, all three of them have gelled really well so far this year. And are excited at that tandem to try to find the net. But I'm excited for the group back there. Like, they've worked really hard in the off season, and they've been great so far in practice. And I know our group feels confident with whoever's going to be in net this year.
Talking NCAA hockey with Sean Skelly, the head coach. Seven new skaters, seven freshmen. Where are they from? You know, where did you have to go for some recruiting here, Sean? flights over to Europe? Or,
no, we don't have any European. No additional Europeans. Trying to think. We got one from the west side of the state, like St. Joseph area. She played in Grand Rapids. Another girl, actually, she's from the Canton area, but she played on a team in Florida. So, yeah, probably needed a flight for that one.
Yeah.
Let's see, Paige, one of our other freshmen, she's from out east. She's actually from Maine. She played at a prep school in New England. Trying to think here. Another
coast
one, Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of all over the place, really.
Yeah.
Similar to the crop that we've had year in and year out. They're really from all over the map. Adrian's the melting pot.
Well, people seek out your program,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you're not begging for people to come here. They're like, hey, Sean, do you think I can play for you?
Yeah.
So, you know, that side of recruiting has to be good, that you can kind of take your pick and make a choice.
Yeah, it's great in that aspect. I mean, obviously, we're trying to travel across the country or the world, whatever, to try to find the best players to make us the best program that we can have. But, yeah, it's fun when, you know, a lot of individuals are reaching out to our program, really wanting to be a part of it. Obviously, there's only a 27 fortunate ones, maybe year in, year out. That number might vary by one or two. But it's, it definitely helps when people want to come be a part of your program.
It's early. What's the expectation? And are you giving that to your team? Are you making it very clear, like, this is our expectation, or how are you approaching that?
Yeah, I think last year, learning as a coach, you kind of each year, you know, you try to evolve. I think that was my focus, was like, we have a national championship caliber team. Like, that's our focus. We need to figure out how to get there. And that's like, we were laser focused on that. And I don't know if that was the best way to go about things. That's obviously the end goal. We absolutely want that to happen. We've been close. We're knocking on the door, but I think it's again, what we spoke about at the beginning of the interview, like just continually winning the day and like focusing on what you can accomplish, right? What are you in control of every day? Like, if it's practice, show up for that hour, if it's in the gym that day, win your workout. Like, do well in your workout so you're getting better. So, again, our product week in, week out continually gets better. And then we hope that because of that, because of how we go about our process, the end result kind of does its own thing.
Yeah. I mean, to really bring it back to college, like if you have a term paper due in the end of March and you just say, well, I'll finish it. And then it's the beginning of March and you're like, oh no, I didn't write anything. You have to make those incremental type of things. Sean, if people want to go see your Bulldogs, when's the next time you'll be out on the ice?
Yeah. So excited. First exhibition game next Saturday, 7 PM versus London Devilettes. It's Canadian junior team essentially that we would recruit from. We played them last year, lost 5-4. They had some incredible individuals on their team that you may see on TV in a handful of years in the Olympics for Team Canada that are playing at top 10 Division I programs this year. So we're excited to get them back in. They'll have another really good group. They kind of reload every year. And then the week after, same thing, another exhibition contest, 3 o'clock on the next Saturday, the 21st, versus Beltire. We played them again last year, so the same exhibition games again. It'll be fun to get everybody in the lineup, either one game or both, and see what we got. And before we got an awesome road trip to start the year.
Yeah, one more time, the date for the London game.
Yeah, it's the 14th. October 14th, next
weekend.
Next Saturday, 7 p.m., puck drop. And then the Beltire game is the 21st, which is the Saturday after that. That one's at 3 p.m.
All right. Well, this is the first this season, but certainly not the last. We'll be hearing from Coach Sean Skelly at the Adrian College NCAA Women's Ice Hockey Program. Thanks for kicking off your season here, and we'll get you up earlier for the next time. Okay, Sean?
Sounds good. Thanks, Ian. Go Dawgs.
That's going to do it for us here at Frickers in Adrian. It's the ACL Access Show, all things Adrian College. Stop by Frickers in Adrian on South Main Street. For all the Bulldog fans listening and our listeners on 96.5 The Cave, for John Kane back in the studio, I'm Ian Wentz saying good afternoon. You've been listening to the AC All Access Show, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
That's a wrap for today's episode of AC All Access. We hope you enjoyed this exclusive look behind the scenes of Adrian College Athletics. Join us next Thursday at Frickers and Adrian. Check out upcoming Adrian College events at AdrianBulldogs.com.
YouTube Lions, opinion maker.